And I tell you, I'm hoping it's good, but I feel like it's something I really feel led to share. But I also feel like Satan didn't want me to do it, because I tell you, everything, so many things that have happened, like for us, but then culminating with waking up this morning with a horrible migraine and nausea, and I had Randy pray for me because I thought, this is Satan. And I'm better, so praise the Lord. Well, we did. I mean, it was a great time at VBS, and we had a little Irish flair to it, as you could tell from the songs. But our stories were all about David and his life. And just want to be clear, David was not Irish. So, but you know, we had that theme. And our scripture verse, our memory verse for the week, was Psalm 23. And you know, I had actually, even before VBS started, I had actually started studying a lot about Psalm 23 and just kind of saw some things that I hadn't really seen before. And I'm going to share some of that with you today. So I'm going to start by reading Psalm 23, which is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm going to just pray for a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to come and share a little bit about Psalm 23. What a wonderful psalm this is, and we're all so familiar with it, Lord. And I just pray that you would anoint my words that I'm speaking, everything I say would be accurate, Lord. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name, Amen. So, this is a passage of scripture that you're probably all familiar with. Maybe you even memorized it if you went to Vacation Bible School sometime. We hear it at most funerals. I mean, it's something that's very popular. And sometimes we can get so familiar with a passage of scripture that we could actually say the words and not even think about what we're saying, because we just kind of get that familiarity with it. So I want to just look a little bit more deeply at this psalm. And the first thing is, it is a psalm of David, and it's important. David wrote many of the psalms, but not all. And it's important to know who the author is when you're looking at something. And now we know that all scripture is God-breathed, so we know that the Holy Spirit led David and all the other authors what to write, but they still have their own personality and in experiences that's part of their writing. And before David became the second king of Israel, he was a shepherd in his father's family. He was the youngest of 8 boys, and I'm kind of guessing by that meant that the job nobody wanted was tending the sheep, because that's where David, as the youngest, found himself. So when he wrote Psalm 23, he was no longer acting as a shepherd in his father's flocks at that point, but he wrote from his experience. He knew the responsibilities of a shepherd as he wrote that. It's just that the Lord is his shepherd and he's the sheep as he's writing that. So he kind of, you know, so that's the perspective that David wrote this from. So I'm going to kind of just go by, you know, part by part. And the first thing, the Lord is my shepherd. And I love that David doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is a good shepherd. I mean, Jesus tells us later that he is the good shepherd. He doesn't say he's like a shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. It's very personal. And I watched a movie recently called The Sheep Detectives on Amazon Prime. Don't know if any of you have watched that movie. And it's kind of interesting. It's a whodunit movie where a flock of sheep solve a crime. So their shepherd had been murdered. Prior to that, the shepherd used to read to them every night, and he would read crime stories. And so they got experience with how to solve a crime. So now, I am not suggesting that we get our theology from this story, but there was a scene that kind of reminded me of what Jesus did for us. The flock of sheep had decided that they were going to forget their shepherd because it was so painful to remember him now that he was gone. And apparently they had this ability, because sheep are stupid. So apparently they had this ability where they could count to three and forget everything. So that's what they were going to do. And there's this one ram who's kind of an outcast in the flock, and he hears what they're doing, and he stops them. And he says, "Did you really think that I would let you forget my shepherd so easily?" And then he shares his story with some of the flock about his previous owner had made him fight dogs until he bled, so he was hurt and he was abused. And then he said, "One night he, George the shepherd, found me. One night he found me. He paid them and took me away." And it goes to a flashback where they're showing George the shepherd, and he has this sheep over his shoulders as he has paid the price and redeemed him and has taken him home to add him to his flock. And so I think about how we see that with our Lord and Savior, with Jesus, who he paid the price and redeemed us and brings us back into his flock. And so now that ram could say, "He is my shepherd." And so it was very personal. Next, "I shall not want." The NIV says, "I lack nothing." Another translation says, "I have all that I need." And I did talk to the kids this week that sometimes, you know, the correct understanding of that scripture, "I shall not want," is really better said, I have everything I need. God provides what I need, which we know, and I pointed out to the kids, that might be different from what we want, that there is a difference there. But we did sing a song called Provider that you heard in the video, and it talked about Jehovah Jireh, which in Hebrew means the Lord will provide. And as my shepherd, I know that God will provide everything that I need. And you know, it's like when the Lord lays upon your heart to share, like I'm doing today, and this idea that God will provide everything that I need, I tell you, Satan really comes out to fight that, because I'm struggling right now with, do I want my air conditioner to work, or do I need my air conditioner to work? Which way is it? Yeah, so you can kind
she
of...
She needs it to work.
Yeah. So, you know, at first, you know, this past week our AC went out, and the part that we're waiting for, I said, "How long is it going to take to get the part?" And they said, 83 days. I'm like, what? That's like... summer's over. So yeah. So I'm you know, pray for us. Cause I kind of shifted, because at first I was like, I don't need that. I might want it, but Lord, you provide all that I need. And now I'm kind of wondering, you know, but we'll see. We will survive. I try to find the silver linings. We have a basement that stays cooler. So there are things. And I have to say this, I am more excited to go back to school this year than I have been any other year, because I have AC in my classroom. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go back to school soon. And yeah, that usually is more like a dragging my feet kind of thing. Next, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, if you look at our scenery, you see all the green pastures, because remember, we're Ireland is our scenery, and the little gurgling brooks, and we see all this this scenery. But as a shepherd outside of Bethlehem, this is not the terrain David would be familiar with. So I have a couple pictures to show you. The first one is, this one has some grass in it because they do have a rainy season. So they would have some grass, but you'll see you've got all this rocky hillside. Not quite the picture we get in Ireland. And this next picture is a little bit more desert-like, probably, we don't have the, there we go. So there's the one where you can see a rocky hillside, but you can see some greenery. And then the next one is a little bit more desert-like, but you can kind of see these little tiny tufts of green. And so what would happen for the shepherds in the Middle East is there would a breeze would blow over the Mediterranean and cause like little dew to form around where the rocks are. And little patches, little grass, blades of green grass would, you know, would show up. And the shepherd would have to take his flock to find these green pastures. So it's not the same idea that we get when we think about green pastures. I mean, you know, we think, oh man, everything is green, it's so beautiful. But for David, he would have known what green pastures really mean. And so what would happen is the shepherds would take their flock and they would find a spot and it was just enough for today. And then the next day, the shepherd would have to go again and take his flock somewhere else to find the green pastures for that day. So there was just enough for the day. So the sheep had to continually follow their shepherd in order to find those green pastures. So it kind of reminds me that it reminds me of the Israelites in the wilderness when Moses was leading them. And they had manna. God gave them manna to eat. And it was they were told to gather it just enough for that day. And then even Jesus, when he was instructing his disciples how to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. So I think about Psalm 23 sometimes, and maybe you have questioned, because you read that and you think, I mean, I know when I've always read green pastures, I've always envisioned this, you know, where you've got all this greenery, and it's just abundant grass and all this, you know, abundant provision. But I think I like this now, this idea that, and it makes sense, that our shepherd requires us to follow him daily and to find that part of the green pastures that he wants us to find for that day. He leads me beside still waters. The Hebrew for this is beside waters of rest, and it's also referred to as quiet waters. One danger that people in the Middle East face, believe it or not, in the deserts, is flash floods. They actually, like I said, they do have a rainy season, and during that season, the rocky limestone mountains can't absorb the water, and they end up with flash floods. So these floods carve out canyons called wadis, and we have a picture here, kind of a narrow one. And when the flood subsides, there'll be like sand down at the bottom of it with maybe a little pool of water. And so that pool of water looks enticing, you know, to sheep, to any of us. We think, oh, look, there's a nice little quiet pool of water. But the shepherd wouldn't take his sheep there because the shepherd knows that that's dangerous. A flash flood, you know, it's not like you get any warning on that. It just happens. And if you happen to be in the wadi when there is a flash flood, then you're going to get swept away. And so the shepherd doesn't go to maybe that obvious place where, hey, look, there's some water and we don't even have to climb anything. It's just here. But it's a dangerous place. And if you guys remember the story that Jesus told about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and we sing a little song, and you know, the rain came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand went splat. That's because the foolish man built his house in a wadi. And so when the floods came down, or the floods came up, It wiped him out. And so the shepherd knows where to stop. When sheep see water in the wadi, it looks pretty good to them, but the shepherd knows there is danger lurking, and he leads his flock to quiet, safe waters. And I feel like it's like that with us. We see that nice pool of water in the wadi, and we think it looks great. We don't even have to climb anywhere. So we just camp out there and rest a while. But our shepherd knows that that's not a safe place for us, and he wants to take us to away from the dangerous waters and instead to safe waters. He restores my soul. You know that feeling when you get done from a hard day of work, you go home to your air-conditioned house. Yeah. You put on your comfy clothes and you try to relax. So we even say, oh, I need to unwind. And you know, it's so important that we, there's only one person who can restore our soul. And so often I think that we find other things, you know, maybe it's, oh, I'm just going to watch this TV. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching a TV show. As a matter of fact, you might want to watch The Sheep Detectives because it was kind of a fun movie. But so often we fill our lives with things that we think are going to restore our soul, and they fall flat, because the only one who truly can restore your soul is Jesus, because he created you, and he knows you so well, and he's the one who can bring refreshment and restore your soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When a shepherd is leading his flock to higher ground, he walks in front of the sheep, and he calls the sheep. He calls to them. And this picture here shows a picture of the shepherd with the sheep, and notice how the shepherd is in front of the sheep and walking in front of the sheep and calling to them. And then the next is just a little sketch with like zigzags on a hill, because if the shepherd was taking the sheep over that mountain or hillside, they would just kind of zigzag up. And again, the shepherd would call to the sheep. And Jesus, as our shepherd, goes before us, and he leads us on right paths if we choose to follow him. In John chapter 10, Jesus actually calls himself the good shepherd. And in verses 3-5, he says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name," which I love. He knows your name. When he calls to you, he calls you by name. That's the other thing in that movie, The Sheep Detective. The shepherd named all his sheep so he could call them by name. So, you guys are all going to want to go home and watch that movie now. And leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So the sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd because they spend time with him. They spend time with their shepherd, a lot of time. He talks to them. He calls them. He calls to them, so they are familiar with his voice and can pick it out of competing voices. And just like the sheep that spend time with their shepherd, if we want to hear the voice of the Lord, we have to spend time with our shepherd. And God has given us a couple different ways. One main way is the written word, and this is called the Logos word. And so we have this, and when you are reading, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this as well, sometimes you might read a passage, and you've read it before, but it's like all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is really speaking to me different, you know? And so because the Lord speaks to us through his written word. And then I'm just gonna mention though, he can't speak through his word if we don't read his word. And it's important that we know what his word says. If we wanna know his voice and not listen to a voice of an enemy or a stranger, then we have to know what his word says, because that is really the primary way that the Lord speaks to us. And then there's also the spoken word, which is called the Rhema word, because there's some things that we ask God to provide guidance to us, and it's not in the Bible. Okay, for example, we know that the Bible tells us that everybody should work. I mean, there's places, you know, if you don't work, then neither shall you eat. I mean, we should work. And you know, maybe your job, you know, because maybe your job's being a stay-at-home mom, because trust me, that's work. You know, so you might be doing that. So, but we are called to work, but the Bible doesn't tell you, you can't find it written in Scripture, what job you should have. So we don't know that. And so we pray, we ask the Lord to show us things. And when we feel like the Lord has revealed something to us, maybe not like with an audible voice, but you just kind of get this impression and you just feel like you know, that's the Rhema word, where the Lord can lead us with that. The Rhema word will never contradict the written word. It won't contradict it. So, next. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In Hebrew, the phrase shadow of death literally means deepest darkness. It's believed that David wrote this psalm when he had fled King Saul, who was trying to kill him. So David was on the run. He was in a place of deep darkness. But one of the things I notice is David doesn't say, if I walk through the valley. He says, even though I walk through the valley. And as believers, as Christians, we will have valleys. I mean, Jesus even told us that. But we will have valleys. We're going to have moments in our lives when we feel at our deepest darkness. Another thing I notice is David says, I walk through. When he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk through. He doesn't camp out and stop in the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't just stay there. He keeps walking. He walks through. So if you maybe are in a place of darkness, just know that it's temporary. We walk through those, and we walk through, and the really cool thing is we don't walk through it alone, because I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So the Lord is with us as he is bringing us through that valley. So another thing I want to mention is the idea about shadows. Anybody ever remember when you were a kid, if you left your closet door open, and there was like maybe a little bit of a light, and all of a sudden you see this shadow, and it looks like there's some either a monster or something in your closet, and so you're afraid because you see this, but it's not real. But you think it's real, but it's not real. You're afraid because you think it's real until your mom or dad comes in and turns the light on, and then that just dispels the shadow. And so for a Christian, when it talks about the shadow of death, death is just a shadow, and it's not real. I'm not talking about physical death. We know that's real. I'm talking about spiritual death. And Jesus, you know, so we have walking through the valley of the shadow of death, so these shadows. Jesus is the light that dispels those shadows. And so he is that light for us. Next, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Now, I know this doesn't really look like a rod. It looks more like a little mini Louisville Slugger bat. But this is what I'm using for the rod. And it was for a shepherd's rod would have been a little, you know, thicker around, probably a little longer, but not long like a staff. And so, you know, when I think about a rod and a staff, usually I'm thinking that it seems like a weapon, like it's threatening. But David says, they comfort me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Remember, David's writing from the perspective of he's the sheep and the Lord is the shepherd. So how does that bring comfort? So the rod, a shepherd would use a rod for various things. One of them is to drive off predators. So this would be something, even though there's no danger to the sheep, but there's danger to predators that the shepherd would fight off. And also, it was used to mark clear boundaries for the sheep so they would avoid dangerous territory. And a shepherd also would use a rod to check the health of the sheep, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So this rod really is a symbol of God's word. God's word offers us authority and protection. Proverbs 30:5 says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." And the word of God marks clear boundaries for us. Psalm 119, 101, and then skipping to 105. "I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." And then how the word of God examines our spiritual health, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So the word of God checks on our health, and so it because it says that it's discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and as we have those things revealed to us, then we can ask the Lord to heal those areas in our life. So that's the rod. And the staff. What did the shepherd use the staff for? Whoa. Don't worry, it's really light, you know. I'm assuming that a real shepherd's staff would be a little sturdier than this one. Amazon, you know. So the some of the uses that the staff would be used for is the shepherd would use it to gently draw the sheep to him. So that would be one of the uses. Another use would be kind of using it to guide the sheep, like kind of rubbing it along the side of the sheep to guide it on the right path. We talked about being on the right path. So sometimes sheep, I guess, get off of the right path, and we need that little nudge back to the right path. The Holy Spirit leads us. The shepherd's staff is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. He guides us along right paths. John 16:13 tells us, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." In Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." So again, the Holy Spirit guides us. And I kind of think about a GPS. And, you know, I had told this to the kids, but when I first moved here, I would get lost all the time. I didn't have a GPS, and I would get lost all the time because I'm a Southern California girl. And when you are in California, you look, the mountains are to the east, the ocean is to the west, you always know which direction you're going. But here, it is. So I would get lost. I used to, before I had a GPS, I just had a flip phone. I had been known to call Randy, "I don't know how to get home," when we first moved here. So, but now I have a GPS. So I can set my GPS and I can, you know, and even with a GPS, and I know I'm not alone in this, but sometimes I miss a turn. And so what happens if I do? I get off the right path. And so my GPS will say, "Recalculating," and then because it wants to get me back on the right path. Now, if I kept going on the wrong path, it just keeps trying to correct me, because at least it doesn't say, "Aren't you paying?" At least it's not rude. But recalculating, and I think, you know, the Holy Spirit's kind of like that. When we get off the right path, then he nudges us, recalculating, to try and get us back on the right path, because he wants us to be on the right path. The other thing was, the Holy Spirit draws us closer to the shepherd was the other usage. I had that. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me, Jesus said this, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and he would use the Holy Spirit, his God's Spirit, to draw people to Jesus, to our shepherd. The next part in this Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, so far, David has used imagery of a shepherd and a sheep the whole way through. So then I get to this point and I'm like, what's with the table? I mean, why all of a sudden? Where's the sheep shepherd imagery here? Because we see this picture, we often depict this table as a table laden with bountiful food. And I know someday when we're in heaven, we're gonna sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I get that, it's gonna look like that. But it just, remember in this passage, we're the sheep, and I've never seen sheep sit at a table. Not even in the sheep detectives. They might speak English to each other, but they don't sit at a table. So then I was kind of wondering, okay, so what's up with that? Why all of a sudden does David not use sheep imagery? Well, he does. It turns out that some of the best places to graze in the Middle East are the plateaus, which are also called mesas or tables, this area. And because those areas can be more plentiful, that also means there was more danger because the predators want to go to those places too. So what the shepherd would do is the shepherd would go before the flock to prepare that place for them so he can take them into that area safely. And it just reminds me of John 14:2-3, where Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So he is. We're told that Jesus has gone ahead, and he's gone ahead to prepare a place for us. So I like that. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So remember I said that one of the ways that the shepherd would use the rod was to check the health of the sheep. So they would use that rod to kind of part the wool, mainly in its head, because that would be where, like, the shepherd would be checking for pests or some kind of disease that you might not see unless you can actually get the wool out of the way to be able to see that. And if the shepherd would find pests, there was a kind of a concoction of olive oil and linseed oil that would actually kill the pest and promote healing and provide preventative care. So that the shepherd would literally anoint the sheep's head with oil to bring healing. And oil is used throughout Scripture to depict the Holy Spirit's anointing and healing power in our own lives. And through that anointing, we experience his presence, his power, and his provision that takes us to a place of abundance, so that we could say, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, when I think about follow, I feel like that's a passive word. Like I might follow you on Facebook, and I might even like some of your posts that you've made. But the word in Hebrew is better translated pursue or chase. So I'm going to read it that way. Surely goodness and mercy shall chase and pursue me all the days of my life. I mean, that's exciting. God's love actively pursues you. Randy and I talked about this passage and about that idea of pursuing. And Randy's take on it is he thinks about when he pursued me. So that idea and in those regards. But I tend to think of a father pursuing his child. And, you know, I kind of got this picture in my head when I was thinking about this. about, because I was really blessed to have an amazing earthly father, and my earthly father taught me the love of my heavenly father. I know not everyone has that modeled for them. But when I think of God's love chasing me, I think of that daddy with his little girl. And you know how, probably we've all done this, where you have some little kid and you're kind of chasing after him. You know, oh, I'm gonna get you, tickle, tickle. And you, and sometimes if you go too slow, they'll do this. Like, are you still chasing me? And so then once the daddy would get his little girl, he would pick her up and maybe tickle her. She'd throw her arms around him and say, do it again, do it again. And that's how God thinks about that. God loves us like that. God loves you like that. And sometimes I think we forget that he loves us. He is our heavenly father, and he loves us just like our dads. And but except better, because he's God. And then the last part, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as Christ followers, we know that we will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. We already read, he's preparing a place for us. But this line here, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is not just talking about a place where we're going to spend eternity. So I want to read a couple passages. 2 Samuel 3:1 says, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, and David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. And then Luke 1:26 and 27 says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, the house of David and the house of Saul were not physical places. They weren't talking about that. Because, you know, Joseph was from the house of David. I don't think he had the same house that David lived in. So it's talking about lineage. So when it talks about the house of David, it's talking about tracing your lineage back to David, or the house of Saul, tracing your lineage back to the house of Saul. So when we say, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it's not just referring to a heavenly dwelling that we can look forward to in our future. This is saying, I am part of God's lineage. And I don't have to wait till I die to have, it's right now. It's now and forevermore, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, part of his lineage. It's all about belonging. I belong to him. I am his child and his heir. So I hope this gives you a deeper picture of Psalm 23. Maybe you are here today and you know that Jesus is a good shepherd, but you never made him your shepherd. And it's so easy to join his flock. He's been chasing you. Stop running and let him catch you. Let him lead you to those hard to get to green pastures and quiet waters. He is the only one who can restore your soul. He will lead you on the right path and call out your name to follow him. When you walk through a dark valley, you don't have to fear because Jesus is with you. He will protect you with the rod and the staff, his word and his Holy Spirit. He will prepare you for the things that lie ahead of you. He will anoint you with his spirit until you overflow with his mercy and grace. He will continue to pursue you because you are his child. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. I love your word. And this picture that we have of us as sheep following our shepherd, and the responsibilities that you take on as our shepherd. And God, I just pray that you would help us to continue to follow you, to stay on those right paths, to listen to your voice, to know what your word says so we can hear you speaking and calling to us, Lord. And I just pray and I thank you that we belong to the house of the Lord. We are part of your lineage. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and your power. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.